Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as I come before you today, I come to thank you for the leaders that have impacted my life through the years. I thank you for those that continue to do so, and I ask that you would help me be one who continues to learn and continues to grow. I thank you for Susan Cain. I thank you for Louis Giglio. And I thank you for all those that invest their lives in the encouragement of others. Thank you for this day and for this church. And prepare us. Prepare us through your word for what you want to accomplish. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am very excited about my new pastor, Chad Grayson. He's not here. Give him a hand anyway. That'll be all right. Truly, there is a veritable buzz of anticipation in the circles that I'm in, where people are greatly anticipating his coming. I've been praying for him today, yesterday, and every day, but especially today as he preaches his final message to the good people at the First Baptist Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. He'll be with us next Sunday, not in leadership, but with his family to observe the Lord's Supper with this congregation and to sit with his family while he does so. And that is indeed for a pastor a wonderful thing to do. And I'm looking forward to him coming. But I have been thinking about a question. I have been thinking about a question, and I think it's pretty significant. The question is this: when he comes, will we gain maximum benefit from his leadership? That's a good question, isn't it? Ponder that a moment. Well, let me make it personal. When he comes, will you gain maximum benefit from his ministry, from his leadership? See, the truth of the matter is, some do, some don't. And I have a message for you today that I'm excited to bring to you, because I'm going to share with you how we can receive that maximum benefit from his leadership. Now, quite frankly, it's not just his leadership. It's any leader's leadership in the church and, quite frankly, in other settings as well. So I will tell you that no matter what circle you are in, this message, I think, will speak to your heart. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you that have read your Bible and have studied it a little bit may very well know that Ephesians chapter 4 is as close as we get to a manifesto on the church, who the church is, who she is, and how she is to function. Not details of day-to-day operations, but how the church and why the church is in the world. And I'm going to share with you a message today, and I want you to be able to gather from it some truths that if you take them from this room and you ponder them, you meditate on them, you take time with them, then they will change the benefit that you will receive from any leader, but specifically from our new pastor, Chad Grayson. Now, I'm going to give you something at the beginning that I want you to write down if you're a writer. If you're not, remember it. But I would really like you to take this with you and a couple of other things. And there's a place in your service folder on the right-hand side, back sheet, I think, that's for notes. So I want to give you something up front, and then I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm going to open that up and try to unpack it for you. Are you ready? I didn't hear anybody. Are you ready?
Come on, man.
All right. Here we go. Ready? The value we give to leaders. I'm going to say that much again. The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. Now, I really want you to understand this, because I think it's a spiritual truth that sometimes we've not been conscious of. We do not see the connection, and I'm going to show it to you biblically today. I promise you, you will find what I'm saying to be textual from Ephesians 4. I'm going to say it one more time. The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. And because we're so close to that time, I'm going to continue to use our soon coming pastor, Chad Grayson. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. That if he comes into this people, this church, and you ascribe great value to him as a leader, then you are most likely to gain great benefits from his leadership. The other side is true, and I trust it'll not happen with a single one of you. But can I tell you this, and let me tell you because I love you. If you in any way devalue Pastor Chad Grayson, you have cut off your nose to spite your face. You will not benefit much, if any, from his ministry because you do not value him as a leader. I'm going to say it one more time. The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. Now we go to the text, Ephesians 4. You ready? Here we go, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, and he himself, and by the way, that's Jesus, risen from the dead. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. And if that is true, and I believe it passionately, then one of the best things that could happen in your spiritual journey would be for your leaders to increase in value in your eyes and in your heart. I hope you are with me. I hope you're tracking with me. If the value we give to leaders impacts and maybe determines the benefits we gain from leaders, then if I could increase my valuing of leaders, if you could do that, then it would be one of the best things I could do in my spiritual journey. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you some things to ponder. That means you've got an assignment when you leave here. I'm going to give you some things to ponder, to dwell on, to feed on. And I promise you that if you'll do this, here's what will happen. You will find, even if you're one who already values spiritual leaders, you'll find that that is strengthened, that that is encouraged. And the result of that will be an increased impact in your own life. So I'm going to pose a little question here. Why are leaders in the church so valuable? That's my question. Why are leaders in the church so valuable? I want you to go back to the very first words that I read. This is important. It says, He Himself. Now, that's not a redundancy that's not there for a reason. This is emphatic. This is emphatic. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, Jesus Christ Himself gave gifts, gave leaders to the church. He Himself gave some to be apostles. That's a gift from Jesus Christ. He Himself gave some to be prophets, a gift from Jesus Christ. He Himself gave some to be evangelists. Now, we are all to do the work of evangelism, but He gave the gift of evangelism to people like Dr. Billy Graham and many, many others. He Himself gave some to be pastors and teachers, and that very likely is talking about the same gifting there. But the emphasis I want you to understand is this gift is from Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes. Yes.
Did you ever get a gift from somebody you didn't know? You ever get a gift from somebody and you wish you didn't know them? You know, I mean, who is giving the gift makes a huge difference in how it is received in your life. The gift that we're talking about here is from Jesus Christ Himself for the church. That's from Him. Now, I'm not a collector. Some of you are. I'm not a collector. Debbie will tell you. So it might surprise you to know that in my possession is a picture. It's about an 8x10 picture. It is of a sports hero of mine. A sports hero who is number 4 in hits. In all time. He ranks number 4. He ranks number 1 in this category. He ranks number 1 as a man who spent all of his career with one ball club. 22 years. How many of you think you know who I'm talking about already? Yeah, I'm seeing some hands. Just one of my heroes. Not only was he great in that way, was ushered into the Hall of Fame in 1969, the same year that I married my sweetheart. Not only great in that way, but from whatever I understand, and I think it's true, he was really a good man, a good man. He and his wife, Lillian, lived together in marriage for 71 plus years. She died in 2012, I think it was in May. He lived less than a year longer, died in January of 2013. Stan the Man Musial. That's who I'm talking about. Now, I've got his picture. You say, well, that's no big deal, Pastor. There's probably 3 billion, I don't know, pictures of Stan Musial out there. Yeah, but mine's a little different. Mine's a little different. Because it's signed by Stan the Man. Well, you say, well, that's pretty good, but I bet there's a lot of them out there.
Sure.
How many of them do you think reads like this? To Pastor Hosey Ballou Jr. Best wishes, Stan Musial. Yeah. There's one of those in the entire world, and it came from Stan the Man. Now, I got to tell you, I never met him, but I had a friend that had, you know what I'm saying? A friend. And he knew Stan and went to visit him, and he knew me and loved me and came back with that, and I've got it, and I love it. Because it came from Stan the Man. Now listen, if that's true with Stan the Man, how much more should it be with Jesus, the Son of God? Whatever He gives, I want, and whatever He gives, I will highly value. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. And in this passage of Scripture, it says, He Himself gave the gifts. Now, I will tell you, the value of a gift is often determined by the giver, but it's also tied to the recipient. He gave the gift to the church. How valuable is the church? And the value of the church relates to the value of the gift. See, the church is the body of Christ on earth. How good is that? I mean, that says we are great value. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Ambassadors. How valuable is that? We have been purchased at a great price, not by the blood of bull and goats, but of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. We are that church. I don't think there's any of the images of the church that touch me any more than this one. We're the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. My bride and I, if we are blessed by God for a little while, we'll celebrate our 45th anniversary this year in August. She's my bride. I love her. I love her a lot. I love her so much I embarrass my kids sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? It's part of the parent's job description, I think. But we are the bride of Christ. The gift of leaders is valuable, not only because it's from Jesus Himself, but because of who we are. The church is precious to Jesus. And because of that, the gift of leaders is of great value. The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. So what truth do I want you to ponder here? I want you to ponder this truth. Write it down. Leaders are a special gift from Christ to His church. I'm going to say it again. Leaders, oh, that every church in America would get hold of this. And more specifically, that we would. When Pastor Chad Grayson comes, he comes as a special gift from Christ to us. I believe that with all my heart. Leaders are a special gift from Christ to His church. So you go home and you've written that down, and as you have your time with the Lord, and if you've not been doing it, you're going to start doing it. And so you have your time with the Lord, and every day you say, "Oh Lord, our pastor's coming. And I'm excited about that. And God, I value him so much because he is a special gift from Jesus Christ for this church." Amen. You ponder that. You meditate on that. What's going to happen? His value is going to go up in your eyes. And when he walks in, you're going to see benefit that you would otherwise have missed. So, that's the first thing. Remember, the value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. Leaders are a special gift from Christ to His church. All right, I'm going to give you the second one. This is the second thing I want you to ponder. We're going back to the text, but I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready? You're going to like this, I think. Leaders pursue a significant goal. Let me say it much again. Leaders pursue a significant goal for Christ through His church. Hear me when I say this. The value of a leader is tied to the importance of his goals. A leader with less than worthy goals will not come as valuable in our world, in our church, in our society. Lower goals, lower value. But a leader with high goals, with a high purpose, with a holy purpose, with a heavenly purpose, that increases the value of that leader. Leaders pursue a significant goal for Christ through His church. Now, let me illustrate this. Some of you will know the name, some of you will not. John Scully. John Scully was with Pepsi Company Corporation. And he was a dynamic individual. 1967 through 1982, led or served in that company, and before it was over, was the youngest president ever of that company. Who knows how he got lured away from Pepsi? Raise your hand. Who knows? I get to tell you something most of you don't know. A few of you do. Steve Jobs, with that little company called Apple, went to John Scully. Now listen to this. He went to John Scully and he lured him away with this legendary pitch. Do you want to sell sugared water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world? See the difference? Now, I have nothing against soft drinks. I drink more than I should probably. That's not the point of this. But the point of this, Steve Jobs understood that if he was going to get the youngest CEO of Pepsi Company, PepsiCo, if he was going to get him to come and help him build Apple, he was going to have to say to him, I'm going to show you a goal that's so much better than sugared water. It's changing the world. Now, friend, I want you to hear me and hear me carefully. Paul, in this text, describes clearly the goal of spiritual leaders. And friend, it's not sugared water. It's world changing. I want you to see it. Your Bible open. Here's what he says. In verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Get this now. Get this. This is the role of a leader. This is the goal of a leader. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Can I ask you, how important is that? And the answer is, it is eternally important.
Right.
All right, read on. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. How important is that? This is the goal of a leader. To come to the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, to know Jesus Christ. My translation follows it with these words. A perfect man. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's a goal of a leader. When your pastor comes, and when I've spent 30 years with you, this has been my goal. Read on. Oh, I can't put my brain around this one. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whoa. You mean that's what we're about? I thought we were just about coming on Sunday, singing some nice songs, hearing a few words from a preacher, and going home and doing whatever I wanted to the rest of the week. I thought that's what church was. No. Church is designed to make you big like Jesus is big. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is not sugared water. This is world-changing, life-transformative. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Does that sound like anybody in any churches you know? Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And then verse 15 tells you how the leader's going to do it. Listen, here's how the leader's going to do it. If he's worth his salt, if she's worth her salt, then here's how they're going to do it. By speaking the truth in love. Oh, how easily we hit the ditch on both sides of that one, don't we? We speak the truth into our church and into our culture, but sometimes we fail miserably when it comes to love, and they notice. We come across as if we hate those people that don't believe in this book. And that will not get the job done. That's not the plan. Now, the other side of that is weak, need, spineless Christians and churches that basically have decided we can just set this aside. We can modify truth to please our hearers. We can scratch their ears. We can make them feel comfortable with their sins because, after all, Jesus said, love one another. As if that was all he ever said. Friends, listen to me. If we will speak the truth in love, something dynamic and eternal happens in lives. That's the role of a leader, but that's also the role of each person within the church. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everybody say it together. Grow up. Say it to the person. No, never mind. Grow up. Do you understand? Immaturity
is one thing that is not a sin at the beginning, but becomes a sin over time. I mean, if you're a brand new believer, got saved yesterday, guess what? Immaturity is expected. But for those of us that have walked with Jesus for 52 years, immaturity is a gross sin. Grow up. That's the role of a spiritual leader. And by the way, to speak that truth in love, because I love you and you love me and I need to still hear it. I've not attained, I've not been perfected. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I've not apprehended. I have not been perfected. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the mark for the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I need you and you need me. I want you to understand, leaders pursue a significant goal for Christ through His church. If you put it in one word, it's this goal. Maturity. Maturity. The goal is that we grow up, and it is impossible without God, and it is unlikely without others. These are things to ponder. What would be the primary way of accomplishing that? Speaking the truth in love. Now, we'll see maturity in two areas: relationships and responsibilities. So you want to check your own life? Here's what you do. Do I love God more today than I did a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? That's a maturity question. And then, do I love the stinking people around me better than I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago? You know, and don't say it that way because it wouldn't sound loving, would it? But I mean, the fact of the matter is, do I love people more? Here's one of the ways I know there's a God. I love His people more now than when I got saved. And that's God. That's God. And I thank God for that. It's a relational issue. But the other thing is, it's a responsibility issue. Oh, don't miss this. Not only am I God's gift to the church, and not only is Pastor Chad God's gift to the church, and not only is Travis Laws God's gift to the church, and P.K. Hinkle and Joe Nelson and Shayla Hale, and on through all of the members, Wayne Barron, you name them all, I may miss some. Not only are we gifts to the church, but listen to me, you are gifts to the church. That's what the text said. Did you see it? And I think this is one of the most important scriptures for the church in the New Testament. In verse number 16, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Listen, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. And so you also are God's gift to the church. So here's my question. Are you assuming your responsibilities? See, if we have children growing up in our home, what do we want for them? For the day to come that they assume the responsibilities of an adult. Same thing within the church. We want people who are growing in relationships and growing in their responsibilities. The result of that, mission, the growth of the body. The result of that, ministry, the edifying of itself in love. How important is that? Incredibly so. Maturity matters. Now listen, the value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. So what truth do I want you to ponder? Here was the second one. Leaders pursue a significant goal for Christ through His church. So when you're thinking about a leader, you think about their goal. And it's not sugared water. It's life change. Life change. So here's how I end. What value will you give to Pastor Chad Grayson? What value will you give to your other leaders? What value will you give to yourself and to others in the body of Christ? The value we give to leaders impacts the benefits we gain from leaders. What are the truths that will increase that value in your mind and in your heart? These two truths. Leaders are a gift from Christ to His church. And leaders pursue a goal for Christ through His church. So I stand before you to say, value your leaders. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word and its penetrating of my heart. Thank You for speaking to me in a fresh way from this passage. Father, for the first time really in my ministry, being able to bring it to this point of succinctness and bring it to this church that I love so much. I'm praying, Lord, that every person who's a part of this ministry will value every leader that you have given to this church, and especially that they'll value our new pastor, Pastor Chad Grayson. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.